Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 500. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
500! We made it, guys. Okay, I'm out. See you later.
He's just waiting for that. He's done.
That's right.
We're not sure where the hell Jeff is. He'll be joining us at some point. But it's getting late here on the East Coast when we record. So Earl is here.
I got nothing to add to 500, so hi.
And joining back with us is original co-host of the show, Fozzie.
I'm sorry, this is actually Jeff. I was late. I apologize. I like Chicago. I think hot dogs should always have ketchup on them. And I hate the Bears.
Italian beef sucks.
Sounds exactly like Jeff.
Exactly.
You need to work on your Jeff voice a little bit.
Yeah. Well, Jeff is a unique butterfly, so glad to be back. Been too long.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
So 500th episode. We have some topics to discuss. Mm-hmm. In relation to that, because we've been doing this for a decade now. It's
my God.
Weird. Right?
That hurts. It hurts to hear out loud.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. But there was some news today, so we're going to cover that first. Mm-hmm. The PlayStation 5 was revealed.
Well, I mean, the PlayStation 5 has been revealed, and the controller's been revealed, and the name's been revealed. So this is the revealing of the games, which is what we really wanted the last three or four times they've done this.
Yeah, so the games, and they showed the system for the first time, so...
Oh, my eyes. Oh, sorry, was that me?
Whoa.
So, you didn't like it, Tony? Is that what we're getting?
This has to be the ugliest console, like, we've had in several generations. I can't... Like, since maybe the PS3 Fat, I don't think there's been a less attractive console. It's just... ugly. It's got like the popped collar. It's like a frat boy.
Yeah, I saw people putting heads on it.
Yep.
My favorite is Seto Kaiba from Yu-Gi-Oh. I saw one.
Hello. Hi. Oh,
there he is.
Sorry.
We just
speaking
started,
of popped collars. Jeff is here.
I gave you a great introduction, so don't worry. You're covered.
Thank you. Appreciate
you're welcome. Yeah, no worries.
What were you saying, Earl?
I saw one that was like Sauron from Lord of the Rings, where they put the giant eye in between the two. I don't think it's a bad looking system. It's just a really curious design. Like, I think the best thing I compared it to, which other people have made, it's kind of like if you shotted a router in between like a binder.
Mm-hmm. Or two envelopes.
And it's like, that's it. That's our system.
Just with all the money they have, this is what they came up with. I'm aghast. I think Chris is in the same boat. I have my consoles lying down. This thing is going to look stupid lying down.
Well, okay, I saw a horizontal picture of it, and I don't know if that was a mock-up or not. It looked like there's a stand underneath it.
Definitely a stand.
Because, for some odd reason, because it's not asymmetrical, so like if you were to lay it down as it's designed without the stand, it would just be upsided. Actually, I still think the top would be upsided, so I don't think... It's like the PS4, where you can't really put anything on top of it.
Yeah, because it has that weird, like, angled kind of look to it.
Right, which is fine. You probably shouldn't put things on top of your consoles anyway. But like, I have mine in like an entertainment center, like with wooden bars above and below. Like, so it has to lie down.
You're going to have to adapt, baby.
Am I supposed to buy a new entertainment center because the stupid thing is meant to stand up?
And it's like the color. It really bothers me because everything in my entertainment center is black.
Yes, be black or be white. Be something. Just choose.
Yeah.
Hey. The past 2 weeks has told us you should not be color.
Tony's got some race mixing here.
Wow, this got dark fast.
All right, well, happy 500, everyone.
And we'll see you later. Bye.
We won't see you after.
I guess I'll be issuing my apology statement later on. Make I'm sure sorry if you were offended and all of that.
Sure, as nondescript and corporate as possible.
Yes.
I think there are ways to make the two tones work. But again, it's not two tones. It is a sandwich. For some reason, there's the black meat and then the white bread. And it's like, it doesn't make any sense to me. Like, the design, like, I'm looking at it now. And it has, like, a footstool, which makes it, like, so can it not stand up on its own?
Like, just without that stand? I don't think so.
No, you need a stand, I would imagine.
Yeah, it looks like
it has a weird over. Angle to it.
Like, why would you design that?
It's weird. I don't know. My thought is that a lot of gamers now are pretty old. Like, you tend to be in your 30s and 40s at this point. There's a huge demographic for that. So, for me, like, consoles are just more like fit in with everything, right? And so, this generation's done a pretty good job with that, is that everything's pretty smooth and very subtle.
But and it's just like, why fit in with?
I mean, that's why my router is like just like in the corner, like where no one can see it, because it's always like an atrocious thing. Like, why would you make it like that?
Is that what you put your PS5? Is that what you're telling us?
It's also going in the corner. Exactly. That's exactly where mine's going.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I don't know. Like, everything, I like the media remote. I actually kind of like the fact that they're bringing that back. It looks very kind of sleek, like the whole lineup, but man, just like, and people in my timeline loved it. Like, they were going like shit over it, and I was like, whoa, like, and I didn't want to say anything because I didn't really want to like take anyone's joy away from it, but I was like, were we watching the same thing? This thing, like, people always like make fun of Alienware and everything. I'm like, this is an Alienware product, and you were just like all over this thing. It's crazy. I don't know.
I feel the exact same way. Like, all the other things they showed off looked sleek. I like the look at the controller. I like the look at the headphones they showed off.
Yeah.
Even the camera looks good, but this stupid console just looks butt ugly.
It's all right. I mean, in a couple of years, they'll probably remake it or whatever, so it looks a lot more sleek, but
I wouldn't even mind if I wouldn't mind if it was black, because then it would at least blend in a little bit.
Sure.
Like, the fact that it's white, it just stands out so much against all the other electronics that you own, which
just
are black.
Just get a can of spray paint. When it arrives, you could just, and then it'll be all black.
And also, the Xbox, I don't think they're going to have, like, a white version, right, when it first comes out, so it's...
Yeah, and that looks like flashing. That's not a great looking machine either, but it looks like a subwoofer. I can hide it like underneath my TV.
Yeah, it's subtle enough, you know.
I was gonna say that. I mean, that's what I do. I get a new system, I unbox it. It's nice, whatever. I set it up. And then I don't really pay attention to what it looks like anymore because I don't have to see it. Like, if the disc slot is in the front, I'm golden. Like, I don't need to. Like, the only one I see constantly is the Switch, and that's because I take it as a handheld sometimes.
Yeah. And that's my fear here, is that it doesn't blend in with everything, and it's just like, it's always going to draw my eye. It's like, and that's going to get on my nerves, but that's just a personal problem. So the games, GTA 5.
Yeah, it's back again.
Finally. God.
What is older, GTA 5 or this podcast? I don't remember.
It's
actually pretty close.
This podcast by like 3 or 4 years, but it is close.
That just was weird. Like, clearly it was just a money grab. I'm like, wow, this kind of like taints the whole thing. But
it's like, did you get a feel like, all right, there's, because they went through like that history of PlayStation, right? They showed all the games and, and like everything going, and then I was like, all right, like, they're showing like, this is the start of the trailer. Like, Rockstar, all right, yeah, they're showing their history, their last big game. And then it's going to transition to GTA 6. and then it never did.
Dude, we are never getting GTA 6 to like fucking AOC as president or some shit. I don't fucking know. Like, it's never coming. This isn't even coming till next year, right?
Yeah, no, it's not. No,
it was the holiday, dude.
No. Yes. Okay. I mean, as far as I know, I think GTA, because this was like, because I had a work meeting, so like this is the part I joined the stream, and I think GTA Online is coming at on to use for free, and I don't know when I think GTA 5 is around there, but
yeah. Okay. So GTA Online will be a by itself standalone download.
Yes, and then okay, and then GTA 5 is not coming to the PS. 5 until 2021, which is surprising.
Okay, I gotcha.
I thought they kicked off the show with that. I figured that was like a big launch title for them.
Who is that like enticing? Like, oh fuck yes, GTA 5 again. That's what I'm watching this for. Fucking the future of gaming.
Maybe it won't be like a 5 minute start the game.
How's that the first thing you show? Like, I'm surprised the 100,000 people didn't just turn off immediately.
Maybe they did.
Could be. There's almost 2 million people watching it when it first started. But should we talk about the games, though? Because they look pretty good.
Yeah, that was a game we were talking about.
Yeah.
Let's talk about, I guess, the new games.
That new.
What caught your guys' eyes?
Well, of course, Spider-Man Miles Morales.
Yeah.
Spider-Man, Marvel Spider-Man, I think that was what it's called officially. It was a really great game, and I think with some fixes, it's an amazing experience. And, you know, Miles is a much more interesting character for a lot of people these days.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do my homework, so did they show gameplay in the trailer or no?
It was all gameplay.
Oh yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
It was all gameplay. Sorry, but
no. But there was they showed him like swinging around. It was it was cinematically cut.
Yeah.
I'd say that was like their biggest announcement. That was like a game of the year game. What, like
3 years ago? I think it's 3 years now.
It was 2018.
Wow, yeah. That's a fast turnaround.
That is a fast turnaround.
Wait, but do we know it's a full-fledged game? I feel like it's going to be more like a standalone expansion.
It's named, I can kind of see it either way, because Spider-Man Miles Morales does make it kind of seem like not necessarily the next Spider-Man game.
Right.
But I can't imagine in this day and age that you have a sequel starting to back and like, we're going to shortchange it. That won't play well.
Right.
Yeah.
So we'll see. That is one of the launch titles. Well, it's due out at the end of this year.
Hmm. Yeah, which is crazy.
That looks good. They showed off Ratchet and Clank.
That looks really fun.
Yeah,
that looks unique. I like the dimensions of like flipping through the areas. That
being able to like jump through. Those games are always fun. It didn't look like outside of the dimension stuff. It really didn't look. That much different than Ratchet. It looks prettier, but
yeah, I have to say, all these developers coming out and saying, "Oh, it's next gen. We can finally do what we always wanted to do," and they all seem to be doing the same stuff that they did before.
Okay, saying this shit for 5 years.
Did anybody else get the feeling that the poor guy from Insomniac, who was the only one that really kind of that they made talk about it, like felt like a hostage video, where he was like, "It will be able to do really cool stuff like ray tracing on Clank's helmet and dimension instant loading." Yes.
Can I see my family again now?
talk more about the particles.
Yeah.
Okay. I just as a quick aside, and I got out of the games they showed. But really speaking, outside of like maybe Horizon, none of them really scream like, "Oh my gosh, I need this system because this is such a leap forward in technology."
Right.
Like it was all like, "Oh, this looks cool, but why is this not possible in the current system?"
They are though, right? Like, these games will come out on PS4 too, or no?
No.
Everything these were all PS5 games.
So they can't do a fucking Demon Souls remake and fucking like slightly lesser fucking resolution. some shit.
No, so they made a very big distinction that they called it out multiple times that they are a big believer. Well, they are big believers in generational shifts. So okay. they wanted to make sure that everything you were seeing was going to be on this.
Throw that PS4 out, baby.
Jeff, you want to play these games, you got to buy the pop collar console. You got to do it.
I mean, I get it, but like, I don't know. Xbox has proven it can work, and they're doing that going forward. Like, and there's a huge difference. Like, if you play like Red Dead Redemption 2 on regular Xbox One, and then you play on One X, it's like it looks night and day, but it's the same game. You know what I mean? Like, it's possible to do,
right? Mm-hmm. And that's my fear here is that, like, a lot of these games. It was kind of what I was complaining about in our private chat was like nothing here really feels like next gen, and I get it.
And
like,
yeah, it's exclusive to next gen.
Right, it's like I get it that the stuff that is going to be that's going to show it off, like the ray tracing, and we're not going to be able to see in a video.
Right,
but this just felt like a really good E3 presentation.
Yeah, like I remember I was commenting with some friends, and my thought was like, this is a really good kind of like second or third year where it's like it's kind of already in its groove. It has the major hitters. So these are kind of the games that you get to like, that second win. These aren't necessarily the home run hitters. Like, I mean, a spade a spade. Like, your big two games were kind of a port of a game on its third system and a remake of a game from two gens ago.
I wouldn't say those are their two. Like,
I give it to Spider-Man and Horizon. Also, like,
Spider-Man and Horizon were the two that are... And,
no, I mean, I get that. I know, that's what, but I mean, they kind of like bookended with that because like GTA started off the show, and then Demon's Souls got that big presentation from Yoshida, where it's like, you know, I couldn't leave without giving you this one game that's near and dear to my heart. Granted, it went on for like another 2 minutes after that.
But yeah, I thought it was over at that point, and then it just kept going.
Yeah, because the way he presented it, like, oh, before we get to the end, I wanted to share this one thing. I'm like, oh, okay, so this is the game, and then there's one game after. It's like, no, here's like five more games. I'm like, that was an odd case to put that statement then.
Yeah, it was. Maybe it was supposed to be at the end, and they're like, oh, wait, we should end with Horizon. Duh.
And like, I actually think the best trailer, the one that looked the best, was Resident Evil 8. Like the fidelity of the characters and the environments. Like, they did a great job, and they did a great cut of that trailer. I thought that looked better than Demon's Souls. Horizon at points, and it might have been, you know, you're streaming it on the internet, so Horizon at points looked a little blurry for me. Like, that game looks great, but it also looked like Horizon.
Yeah, I was also, like, expecting to see, okay, let's see the next giant great creature, and they didn't really do that.
Yeah, just like the mammoth at the end, like, that was pretty cool, but...
Yeah. But that's like, okay, cool, but there's a T-Rex with a turret on it in the other game. And
yeah.
Your mammoth does not impress me.
I would also, I mean, just to call it out, if we're just dropping names, I would also say I thought Sackboy's Big Adventure looks really great.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like it honestly looks like a little bit kind of out of the XUPA now.
There were a few games in there that fit into that. I would play that. I like it. Like how
Sackboy.
Yeah,
Sackboy. Yeah, they took away the Little Big Planet name, didn't they?
Yeah,
no, I know. Adventure. I just saying. I looked at the trailer for that, and I was like,
it looks fine. It's a cute 3D platformer.
Yeah, it still looks like it has that Little Big Planet like crappy platforming physics, though. Even though it's like a semi 3D game, like, I don't know.
Well,
it's also a different developer, so we'll see, because it's Sumo Digital instead of Media Molecule.
Right, yeah, it's not a Media Molecule game, so maybe it controls a little bit better.
Well, wasn't Little Big Planet... I can't even talk. Little Big Planet 3 was... it was not Media Molecule. It might have been
Sumo was Digital. I never played 3. Like, I kind of threw up on it after...
It's fine. Like, it was fine, but even in a different developer's hands, like it played like it, you know, it felt like Little Big Planet, which to me, like, you know,
yeah, Sumo Digital did 3.
Yeah, it feels boring I don't know. That physics engine makes it feel boring to me, if that makes any sense. Like,
well, okay. Which, feel good. Which is why I'm happened. A game I was curious about when it started, and I'm still kind of interested, but not as interested anymore, is Destruction Star. Because when it first started, I'm like, oh, this looks like it's a success at a Monday Night Combat, which is a game I absolutely loved. And then it's like, oh, yeah, we're going to throw Rocket League in here as well.
Which one was that, Earl?
Destruction All-Star. It's the...
the car.
Yeah, the car combat character-based game.
Yeah, right up until you said that, I had completely forgotten that was a game.
and that's kind of what I mean. I think there's a big part. Like, there's about 40 minutes. Like, it was GTA, Spider-Man, GTA, GT7, Ratchet & Clank. And then it was like maybe 40 minutes of like, oh, that looks cool. Am I going to remember that in half an hour? Because there was Stray, there was Returnal, which is a terrible name.
Which one was that? Awful, was that the Square game?
No,
that's the woman who was like in space and landing on the planet and had to keep fighting and dying and coming back again.
What were the odds of two games having time travel, time loops as a central element in this presentation?
I didn't have odds on it.
But I thought Death Loop was kind of cool. But again, it's also another one when you are just kind of trying to go through this thing where you're being killed by another spy.
Is that the Arcane game?
Yes.
Yeah.
Which looks exactly like Dishonored.
Yeah.
I heard some interesting like concepts about that game, but how's that work? So I only got kind of half of what was going on.
Is it multiplayer or?
I think it's single player.
They definitely showed them playing as both characters.
Yeah, you can do that. And I guess, like, you can work with them or kill them? I don't know. There's, like, some sort of cat and mess element.
There was that Ghostwire Tokyo game.
Which was different than I expected it when they first announced it, I think, last year.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks cool. I think that it's a first-person game that isn't necessarily a shooter.
Yeah, I'm not sure what I think of that. I was expecting a third-person kind of sci-fi horror type thing, because that's what that studio did before, right? They did the Evil Within stuff. So this is different, I guess. The one I did like, though, and I'm to, you know, just to prove Earl's point, I can't remember the name of it, it was the one by that Ember Studio. It's like the small
oh yes studio. Kenya Akina Bridge of Spirits, the one that kind of looks like Wind Waker meets Pixar.
Yep. Yeah, that looks really cool, and like the you can see where some people are doing like great work with like environments and animation. Like these guys said, they're, you know, they have a history in like film animation, so it came out very clear in their you know, presentation. That game looked really cool. There were other games where, like, where environments were kind of meh. Like that, the was the first PS5 game announced last year. Yeah, like the environment, that game looks like it could be fun, but the environments were just like generic.
Yeah, I think when I commented on it, I said the best thing about this story is the music. And it was kind of just like generic rap.
Yeah.
That NBA 2K1, I mean, 21 had a presentation. I'm like, oh, I can't wait to play that basketball game with one person on the court. Like they do.
I mean, if they can get the characters to look as good as they got Zion Williamson to look in that trailer, it's going to be super impressive, but I've never played a basketball game where it's just one person on the court.
I mean, it would be impressive, but like, again, I think it's one of those things, like, how often are you going to stare at the people on the basketball court?
Right. That's a Tony game.
Yeah.
He'll play it for us.
Oh, yeah.
What about Hitman 3? That's another Tony game.
Oh, I'm all for that.
That's a Falza game too, baby. I was surprised because I thought like Hitman 2, there was like a lot of, didn't they dissolve the studio or something? I don't know.
So, was it Square Enix?
Square, yep.
Tried to dissolve the studio. They bought themselves and went independent.
Okay.
Oh yeah, that sounds right.
And that was after Hitman 1.
Yep.
By the way,
Hitman should be an everyone game.
It should be.
I'm just terrible at it. I love watching Tony play it, though. Like,
Hitman 2 was great.
There's no way to be.
It helps being a sociopath.
Yeah.
Come up with interesting ideas.
Yeah, exactly. It leaves for unlimited potential. You could do whatever you want in that game. It was incredible.
Right. Yeah, you don't have to be quote unquote good at it. Like it's Tony. It's like about being creative. Like it's about like okay, yeah. Or just like however you envision killing somebody.
Well, I definitely saw like there were rockets that you could fire off. So I'm mm-hmm. definitely like throwing somebody into space or like leaving them underneath the fire to burn as the rocket takes off. You know.
Yeah, that's the big one.
Just some ideas I had from the trailer.
I'll have to go. I have two with the remaster of one on it. I'll have to go back and try it again. I was just always awful at them.
Did they say how this is being released?
What was that, Earl?
Did they say how this is being released? Because episodic, right?
I was going to ask you, Tony. Did you like the episode? Because I did.
I did not like it. The fact that it was episodic.
And two was not.
No, you could buy two altogether. So
really,
yep.
Really? Yeah,
two was just a full release.
Yep, and three I believe will be as well.
The thing I like about the episodic is that you played every level to like completion. Because you wanted more and it wasn't there, so you just like, okay, I'll go back and play this one again and again. But with like two, I felt like I had to rush through because I was like, okay, I want to get to the next level. And I never went back and played the other ones, you know?
So with one, I played through the first two episodes, then I stopped. I was like, I'm not waiting for the next. And I moved on to other stuff. Whereas two, since I had the whole thing, I'm like, okay, I can take my time and play it at my own speed. And
I don't know.
There's something to be said for replaying the levels in that game, though, like for sure. And I was going to tell Chris, like the level that I really love from 2, I don't know if you guys will agree with me or not, is the fucking opening tutorial level where it's like a little like yacht or something like that. I don't know why I loved doing that level over and over and like doing every single like scenario I could do in it. I think it's because it was kind of a small contained space. Because like some of them are like, like a big city, and it's like just like a little boat. Like it's fucking sweet, dude.
Mm-hmm. I really like that racetrack level.
Yeah, but that one's like kind of big and sprawling. That one was really cool. Like you could do like you fuck with the race car drivers. You know,
now I have to go back and play.
See, I feel like I played more of one when I had like the definitive edition of the. Of the game, so I had the whole thing at once, and then I went back and played.
Yeah, I guess. Like, it's just like to me, like Hitman is like that perfect. Like, okay, I'm going to spend 5 hours a month playing this game. So, like every month, you just get that new content. It's like, oh, all right, awesome. I don't know. It felt nice, like over a span of like 7 months playing that. But I get it. Like, I understand. Like having the full game is nice too, but.
I'm kind of with you, Fozzie, because like it's forced replaying, you know, and then like that's like where that game really shines. It's just like seeing all the options that you had.
But to answer your question, Earl, I don't think they mentioned how they're releasing that.
Guarantee it's one package.
Probably.
I wonder because there's the data out there that. Episodically, like that first episode does great, and then by the last episode, they've lost like 80% of their audience. So, like, they probably make more money releasing it all as one.
Remember, like, we used to have guy on the podcast who said that like episodic was the way of the future.
That was me.
I can't remember his name. Oh, is it you? Oh.
It should be. It should be. It makes sense. You little some bitches, you don't know the difference. So what can I say? Not my fault.
I like episodic content, Fozzie. I do think that these developers have to find a way to sell it to you up front, right? Like, so instead of going, all right, buy the, you know, The Walking Dead for $5, buy episode one for $5, it should just be like, buy the game.
No option. Yeah.
As we release it, like, you'll get the new.
I think the one problem that's always kind of really fucked over episodic is that it's never been a solid episodic. Like, yep. Remember Walking Dead and that studio? I mean, it was always like, oh, okay, you're going to get the next one in like 3 months. We don't fucking know, but
this month.
It's so. like that's too much time. Like, it needs to be within a month or something. Like, you can't expect someone to be like, oh,
yeah,
hell yeah, I'm going to remember the story and every little choice I made in 3 months. No, like, by then you've moved on to like multiple other games. Dude, but
actually, Game of Thrones was terrible like that. But
Game of Thrones, yeah. Resident Evil Revelations, yeah.
Yeah, did a good job. It was like a weekly show. Yeah.
They had that game done, and they just cut it up into episodes. I mean, that's also how the levels played out. Yeah. But yeah, you got like episode one, and then two was the next week. So it played like a TV show almost.
That'd be cool. Yeah. Like little like cliffhangers like that. Like, it makes sense. I don't know.
It was literally weekly, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It was. I think it was like five episodes, and they came out.
I remember that. It came out on like the 3DS, right?
No.
It was Revelations 2, not Revelations 1.
Okay, okay.
Like super well done. But Capcom finished that
Capcom
game.
Capcom makes, like, yeah. I mean, Capcom's a little bit bigger of a studio. But that being said, I mean, I don't know. Like, Episodic still has its, it'll have its moment. Just you wait. It'll be 20 years from now, but it'll be there.
Hey, I mean, it's possible. We do still talk about L.A. Noir.
Mostly to make fun of Jeff.
Mostly. Does consistently come up.
That was a long blow.
I wonder if I have a remake for that. I should get it.
I haven't. I haven't played it.
Jeff tried to play it.
Yeah, I have
his
it.
Thoughts. It's not awesome.
It's, I don't know. It's like a slow game, you know? So it's like, I saw it once. That.
Demon Souls, Jeff.
Ooh. Yeah. I saw screenshots. It looks. I'm not getting a PS5
for it.
Yeah. So if it was on Xbox, which I don't think it would.
Really no, be, I mean, yeah. I think Sony owns Demon's Souls.
I saw screenshots though, and wow, it looked really good. But well,
so you're not getting it day one then, huh?
Nah.
Okay.
I guess that is a question, and not if. But what is actually for this year?
Spider-Man?
I think Spider-Man was the only one they confirmed for this year. Some of the other ones had a 2021 date. And a lot of them they just didn't say. Which is the other thing. It's like the classic Sony press conference. Like, they showed off all these games and they looked awesome and I really want to play them. But this is like 4 or 5 years worth of games. These are not all coming in the next year.
Oh yeah, like everyone kept talking about that project game. I'm like, anytime there's a project game, ignore that game. Like, don't even think about it. Like, whatever it was showing, don't remember it because you're just going like pain yourself because it might not even come out, you know?
Now do you use it a project game? It's a project game from Square.
Exactly. No. Like, I was on the IGN blogs with Final Fantasy Versus 13, like, you know, I mean, like, it's not coming out for a long time.
Yeah, like they didn't even, Horizon, no date. Like, I was kind of hoping that would be their launch game, and it's not. And
I don't know if we'll
see it next year.
I'll do it with Spider-Man, but yeah, I'm looking at, because I have a thing up, and I realize like a lot of stuff don't have dates. I didn't realize like one of the new games they announced, Pragmata, is announced for 2022.
Yep.
Hitman's January, so he sets, you know, within the launch window.
I think Resident Evil is also early next year.
That makes sense.
Which makes sense, yeah. They tend to be like January through March titles, mm-hmm. So I expect in that window. But yeah, a lot of things, like Ratchet Clank, as far as I can tell, no release date, terrible name. I'm going to say that anytime I mention that, no release date. Demon Soul, as far as I know, no release date.
No release date.
So let me ask you this. Like, obviously, yeah, there's not, maybe there won't be that many launch titles, but are you nervous about not getting it? It sells out, and then it becomes like this hard to find thing for a year due to the pandemic.
No.
Sure. No, as far as like you don't think it will be hard to find, or no, like you, nothing is like titillizing you enough to like even care at this point.
I don't know, both.
Yeah, go ahead.
I do think it will be a limited supply. That's a launch system in general, and I do think that that will help with a narrative. But I do think, I mean, and again, I'm sure they're going to announce more games and stuff like that. You know, we'll have cross-gen titles as well to fill in the library with like Assassin's Creed and Call of Duty and all that fun jazz. But I do think that you do have to have a sense of momentum. And I mean, part of it really is that China's reopening up, so they should have a steady supply chain. I'm hoping them, Microsoft, Nintendo, and anybody else has kind of taken this lesson to diversify their supply chain going forward, so it's not just one country if something like this happens. But I don't think it's going to be like, I don't think, like, let's say you want one next Christmas, I don't think it's going to be hard to find as far as like any other system is at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Actually, Tony, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, like, it might be hard to find systems. I think it's not going to be that difficult, though, because I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of games, which is going to depress the demand.
For me, like, yeah, I would get one to play Spider-Man.
But yeah.
If I don't get one to play Spider-Man, that's okay, because I'll get it at some point next year.
Right, I'm pretty sure the only game, like, the only exclusive game that's really going to be there at launch is going to be Spider-Man. So
I'm sure they'll have some smaller titles as well.
And smaller titles that you're not going to care about, though. That it's not going to be like, there's a gaping hole in my existence because I didn't play Reanimator or whatever the hell.
Spider-Man's the one big game that I'm like, I really, like, if that's this year...
Right.
Maybe that gets me to buy the system.
Well, that was our game of the year for that year, right? Yeah. I mean, that was an awesome, awesome game, and I would love to play more of that. But if that's the only game on your system, I can wait.
Yeah. Go ahead, Earl.
No, I was going to say, I call in a spade a spade. The other thing, the big thing that we don't know, we still don't know price. And that is going to be a big factor one way or another. If it's like $300, sure, that thing is going to sell like hot potatoes. If it's $500 or more,
yeah. And I mean, I'm fortunate that I've been with my company a long time, and I've reached a milestone where I will get a bonus this year.
Ooh,
like for the longevity. I mean, I get a bonus anyway, but besides the point. So I get like this longevity bonus, and it will pay for the systems. Like, so that's what I've been like, all right, I'm going to get this bonus, and that's what that's going towards. But it, you know, maybe I hold on to that $500 or $600 for the PlayStation. If there's only Spider-Man.
Yeah. I can buy whatever the fuck I want because I canceled any vacations I was going on this year. I just don't. Every time with the PlayStation, it's like I regret it. I haven't touched my PlayStation 4 in fucking years, and so I'm just not gonna do it.
And this
fast forward to me buying it.
I will say this has been a good year for PlayStation. Like, they have games this year.
I thought you were gonna say it's been a good year for saving money because
that too, but. I mean, Sony has had, like, they had Final Fantasy VII Remake, they're going to have The Last of Us 2, they have Ghost of Tsushima, like, it's they have had a solid year, or will have a solid year, at least for the first half.
Yeah.
You know what I realized? Sorry, go ahead, Earl.
Oh, no, you go on.
You know what I realized today? I was like, thinking about it, I'm like... Do you realize how much money you've saved on drinks since March? Like, probably hundreds of dollars.
Oh, yeah.
Drinks. Like, if I go out to dinner, I have like two drinks, right? And so that's way more expensive than a drink at home.
Just in general, going out, like, because.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm thinking this in the hundreds already.
It's probably way more for me because I'm not in the office, so I'm not going to lunch every day.
The lunches are what are.
Yeah, lunches. It's like $15 a day, and it's like it's not a big deal. But you do it over a week, you times that by 13 weeks. Now, like I'm pretty sure I'm carrying like $2,000 saved already.
Well, after the first month, my wife was like, "Why do we have all this money in our bank account? What happened?"
Fucking, we're stuck here.
We're working and we're not going anywhere.
That's right. Honestly, I would say mine is higher because I had two vacations at the Kansu, and vacations just. Between hotels, travel, food. Like, you eat out every meal.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, like, I especially I was going to Europe, I would have spent $2,000 on that trip. Yeah, didn't happen. But what I was going to say to get back to video games real quick is, I mean, ultimately what it's going to come down to, and we'll see, is that the fall is going to be Halo 6 versus Spider-Man. And I think, even though I think Spider-Man sold really well, I still think that Halo has that cash, that kind of, I need this. And I think what's really helped it is that there's not been a new game in like 5 years.
Yeah.
I'm a little thirsty for that Halo, man. Gotta be honest.
Jeff wants Halo and AOC.
And I've never been like, you know, out of us, I'm probably one of the, I'm probably lower on that totem pole as far as like, you know, I like the series. It's fun, but I'm not like, you know, I put Chris at the top, probably, like, loves Halo, you know.
Fanboy.
Books and shit.
That's fair.
Ozzy loves Halo, too, though.
Halo's great. Halo's, you know, really fun.
I do.
Welcome to Halo Love. Maybe you do.
Halo-er.
Halo's okay.
There was like that Halo. Time he fought us on a... He fought us on
Year.
Well, actually, Halo ended up being the compromise for that.
So he failed.
Over what again? What was it?
It was I was debating for Pac-Man Championship Edition. You guys were debating for
Halo Reach.
Reach ended up winning because you guys wanted The Walking Dead, I thought.
No, that was different year.
That was different year.
For sure. But like, I do find it amazing that you argued for Pac-Man over Halo Reach. That's pretty cool.
I still would.
yeah, I hear you on that. I think I can see that, but I have no idea because I think that was what, probably 2011 or something.
2010. That was the first year we did this.
Was that Mass Effect 2? That was our game of the year.
That definitely was a game of the year. There's no way there wasn't a game.
So we fucked over Mass Effect 2 for Halo.
No, we didn't.
We did not. That was, Mass Effect 2 was Game of the Year.
Then it should have been Halo Reach should have been the year before, maybe? Or the year after?
I want to say it was the year after. We do have the internet. We could figure this out.
There was a streak, like, the first, like, 5 years of Game of the Year. My Game of the Year was the Game of the Year.
Wait a second. Cool. Halo Reach was like 5 years 14.
Shut
2010.
Up.
Mass Effect was January 26, 2010. What? No, there's no way that Halo Reach.
What year did Halo Reach come out?
I don't know. It was 2010.
2010.
So
they both came out 2010.
So we fucked up.
No, there's no way.
There's way.
No, we. Who would not like Mass Effect 2 out of this?
I think we probably all liked it, but sometimes you don't realize how great something is in the moment. You know what I mean? You get it wrong sometimes. You're like,
No. We never game.
Dude, we thought Far Cry 3 was going to be like the fucking game of forever, and it was just...
I remember that game. Wait, Pac-Man Championship Edition was 2007.
DX. DX.
Oh, DX, okay.
Yeah, 2010 sounds right for that.
Oh, that was 2010.
That was a crazy year.
That was a good year. It was almost like that was almost as good as 2007, honestly. Think about it.
So maybe what happened was that...
We fucked up.
No. There's three that were in the top three. Mass Effect 2 should have won. And maybe we were deciding the second place spot?
No,
Chris,
Mass Effect
you would pick
won.
Pac-Man Championship over Mass Effect? No, I refuse.
Yes.
No, he did. And then we had this argument.
You're a crazy old man.
Gameplay only versus gameplay and actual storytelling.
I could see a Halo becoming the compromise in that scenario or whatever.
It didn't though. Mass Effect 2 won. I remember.
No, we gave Halo Reach Game of the Year.
No, Chris, maybe we didn't.
I'm gonna have to go back and listen to it. I have all the episodes. I don't have it up.
We fuck it. I know we gave Halo Reach Game of the Year 1 year.
No, that would not have happened.
That was a joke. That was a running joke. People were like, possible. Say, oh, you guys are just going to give it to Halo this year. Like you do every year.
I'm getting angry right now. Stop it.
It's a long-running joke, for sure.
For a reason. It had to stem from something.
There's definitely like a divide on this podcast for a while where it was me and Jeff versus Napo and Chris versus everyone. Like, it was just like, okay, we normally just drew the fucking line in the sand there for pretty much everything.
I remember, for me, the biggest fights were Walking Dead and then Breath of the Wild. At least, like, on my end. I remember, like, passionately fighting about both of those.
We were definitely passionate about, like, Walking Dead when that came out. Like, that was our shit.
Yeah.
Well, I will check on that and let you guys know.
It was Reach.
Please, God. Yeah.
Whatever it was, I don't really care at this point.
Mass Effect number 2.
Anything else from the Sony show?
I want to play a game as a cat. I really do. I'm excited for that. Meow. Meow.
I just a real quick thought on the overall presentation is, you know, I assume digital events like this is going to be a way going forward for a while, since we still can't remember gatherings, is that this was weird. I thought the interstitials were really kind of, like, I mean, I got what it was going through at the end when they revealed this, but it felt like it was this really high tech but also really sterile thing, and I guess because people were recording at home and stuff like that. So, like, you get that, and then you see people talking, and it just felt like there's the static background, and they're just talking to the camera. There's no energy. There's really no connective tissues. But the one thing I really did enjoy that I thought was a really cool visual that they did with here, and how they showed off the different features of that with kind of the control on, like, sand that would change colors to show you, like, the haptic feedback and, like, the trigger levels and stuff like that. There's a really interesting visual to kind of show you features that you won't be able to see in a video otherwise until you get the controller in hand.
That was like a trailer of music, though, right? It wasn't like a guy explaining everything, correct?
No. It was just words, and, like, it would be like haptic feedback, and then you see like you see the ripples around the controller move out, and that was, again, a really nice visual.
I think Earl's, like, kind of, like, hitting on something here, is that it felt more like a E3 presentation of a console that's in mid-cycle, and not like a celebration of, this is a new console, this is why we're excited about it, and this is why you should be too. And I feel like you need to have someone there, like, saying these things as far as what the controller can do. And even when I watched that Unreal demo for, like, the fifth generation or whatever that's coming out, like, I was taken aback by that, because they actually, like, show, like, look at all this shit that's happening on screen. Like, it's insane. I was, like, thinking to myself, like, that's incredible. But I think for this, like, PS5, whatever you want to call it, like, future of gaming, it just felt more like, okay, like, let's just get these people hyped, let's just fucking throw out whatever we can, and, you know, and it did the trick, but I think you're right. It's like, I don't know, felt like a lot of that could have been done on the PS4, and I'm excited. Like, I can't wait to actually play and have that control in my hand, because it looks pretty cool, but be nice to have someone there and, I don't know, talk about the console more, like, actually, like, be up there, like, playing it.
It was weird. I did kind of miss the talking heads. I don't think you needed it entire time, but I do think you needed somebody there. Like, this is, you know, like, here, like, there wasn't really anybody there to kind of, like, navigate you through what you were seeing. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, oh man, look at this, and like, you know, this is like, there was one phrase that was confusing to me, and it was like designed exclusively for the PlayStation 5. And I'm like, does that mean it's exclusive for the PlayStation 5? Does that mean like this is the core system that it's being designed around? Like, what does that mean exactly? And I feel like that would have been a good case when somebody comes in and make, and you can, you know, you get this game on the PlayStation 5, or you know, like, these games are being built from the ground up on our state-of-the-art hardware.
I mean, like, the Switch does that all the time. Like, they show you, okay, like, with the haptic feedback, especially, like, the early on games, they would show people using it and why this could only be played on the Switch. You know? Like, you didn't see it with Sony's presentation. I don't know.
Yep. All right, well, PlayStation 5, coming, we don't know when it's coming.
At some point, and we don't know how much we're paying, and whatever.
But
this was kind of what I was expecting from this presentation. Was what I was expecting when Xbox did their presentation a few weeks ago. Just show me a bunch of games. Like, show me why I'm buying your console, because I play games on it. And they did a really good job of showing like a variety of stuff and a reason to like pick the thing up. Whereas Xbox kind of just talked about, oh, here's an Xbox.
And this was way better than that. Xbox.
Infinitely better. Infinitely better.
I mean, Microsoft's going to have another chance next month. You know, if they're going to show off, we're going to see those first party games that we've been wanting. So we'll see how that goes. Still weird that Sony doesn't really have a response to Game Pass.
Yeah.
And I know PlayStation Now is getting better, but...
It just feels like Microsoft adjusted their philosophy when they were trailing PS4 like this gen, and like they kind of like stuck with that. They're like, this is what we are now. Like, if you buy an Xbox, you can play Xbox, you can play fucking Xbox 360 games, you can play Xbox One games, and like, it honestly feels like a case of, you know, since Sony's on top, they're like kind of resting on their laurels with that shit.
Yeah, there was definitely, it wasn't quite as like in your face as they have been in the past, but there was a little bit of that arrogance, right? Like, you know, when I think, is it Jim Ryan? He the guy that is he one of their execs there? I believe it was him that was like, you know, with that, well, we believe very much in the distinction of generations. Like, all right, so this is the hill you guys chose to die on, was we're going to make these games that kind of look like last gen. But they're only playable on the new thing.
It isn't a bad thing, but yeah, it's not, it doesn't get you super excited. I think it's something that we've mentioned on the show time and time again. It is also just divergent philosophies at this point. I do think Microsoft is more concerned about being an ecosystem than it is about necessarily selling you one piece of hardware.
Yeah.
It is getting you into Xbox family of systems.
But I do think that is 100% the result of them feeling like their backs are against the wall. Like, I think good things come out of that sometimes, you know? Like,
oh, yeah, it does. I mean, Nintendo pivoted with the Switch. Microsoft is pivoting with stuff like Game Pass and, you know, putting games on other consoles or platforms. And I think even Sony's kind of getting there with like some of their games coming to PC now, and them being more open to cross-chain, cross-platform titles. But I feel like of the three, they are the most firm believers in like, we need a clear dividing line between this is going to be the end of this generation, and you're going to transition and get this brand new one. And to their credit, they are the best-selling hardware manufacturers of the three, so their strategy is working.
Yes. Well, we'll see. we'll see if it transitions this year. But yes, they are the market leader, and they get to dictate how they want to do it. Before we kind of jump into our big topic, what have you guys been playing? Fozzie, what have you been playing recently?
Oh God, what the hell? Oh, geez. Oh, geez.
Oh, he's like, I'm on a podcast. I have to think about
I've been playing some Valorant. A little bit of that.
Okay, none of us have played Valorant, I don't believe.
Okay.
So.
Have you played Counter-Strike?
Yes.
It's nothing like it. Actually, good. it's kind of like the same thing where you buy a gun at the start of the round, and so the main kind of difference is that you have special abilities that are connected to certain characters. So you have healers and people that can wall off like certain areas, and so it's cool. I'm not, God, like my PC aim is terrible, so I'm always getting like just automatically just destroyed all the time playing it, but it's fun. I played some of the closed beta with some friends, and it's not probably a game I'll put a ton of hours into, but I've been playing it a good amount. That and Warzone. Oh boy. You guys, you into the Battle Royale here?
Apex Legends, but not.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you're Apex boy. You should try Warzone, though. It's a ton of fun.
I have Warzone downloaded. I would play that with somebody.
I also have it downloaded. I'm not against it in principle. I just love Apex.
I think, like, Apex, like, the nice thing is that there's always an opportunity for you to come back into the game.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to, like, something like Fortnite or something like that. So, I like it a lot. It's, like, my favorite Battle Royale game that I've ever played. So, I play a ton
Warzone
of that.
Warzone is.
Warzone, yes.
I'm interested in playing some Call of Duty with their new season, because they're bringing back Scrapyard.
Ooh, nice.
To the multiplayer, so that'll be fun.
Cool. Yeah. And yeah, I beat Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
Dude,
what'd you think?
Good. You know what? Like, well done. I like the remake a lot.
Yeah.
Towards the end, it was getting just like insanely difficult, so I had to kind of like scale down my difficulty just a little bit, because man, like that last like 10 hours of the game, I always thought like, okay, this is the end, and it kept going, and so like every night I'd be like, I just want to finish this, like I want to get to the end, because I kept hearing the ending, and it is an awesome ending, but I kept hearing good things about it, so I'm just like, God, I gotta get there. I gotta beat it. So I just like scaled it on easy mode and like kind of like coasted my way a little bit. But dude, yeah, it's legit. Like, they did a phenomenal job with that game. Just everything about it. It's like the best action I've probably played in Final Fantasy. It makes me realize like how shitty Final Fantasy 15's combat was compared to this.
This is much deeper.
It is.
It's like an upgraded version of. Jeff probably hate it because it's very Kingdom Heartsy. But it's, I think it's better than Kingdom Hearts. Like, it's more direct one to one than Kingdom Hearts. Weird.
It gives you a good challenge too, and then also, yeah. Like once you get the hang of it, and once you start to kind of like have a feel for like the magic and being able to rotate players, like, man, it gets cool. And like just watching like everything in slow motion when you're in the menus looks fucking amazing. Like, no joke, like I'll get Tifa and then she'll do like her somersault, so she'll be up, and then I switch over to Cloud, and then, you know, he's you know, I'm about to do like some sort of like crazy move with him, but Tifa's in like mid somersault, and it's like, oh man, she's going to fuck this guy up. It's going to be awesome. I don't know. It's awesome. They did it really nice.
Yeah, Barrett's gun, like, it feels super strong. Like,
it does.
It's actually playing as anybody but Cloud. Cloud's fine to play as, but I think playing as anybody but Cloud is actually more fun.
Yeah, for sure. I was surprised, like, maybe I wasn't looking around enough, but it felt like a pretty linear game. And I was like, am I missing a lot of weapons here? But
very linear.
It's There's only like maybe three, like four or five variations. I feel like there would be a lot more. I don't know. You know, obviously a lack of characters, but.
Yeah. I mean, you'll get more.
Yeah.
Like, you play. So it's like, I don't know. Yeah. I thought it ended okay. Like the ending is goofy and weird and.
Ooh, I like it. I like it a lot.
But it does open up stuff for whatever that next game is. We'll get in like 7 years. So
I know. That's the thing. It's like, I was thinking to myself, well, they're just going to use the same game engine, so it's coming out next year, right? But no, it's probably going to be at least 3 years. Just think that we're not going to be able to finish this game until the end of the next console generation. You know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, trilogy would be done then.
It'll be legit a decade or so away, I'm sure. So,
I was actually surprised that was not one of the announcements today. Was like, hey, it's Final Fantasy VII R remake for the launch of the PS5.
Oh my god, that'd be insane.
Yeah, or like, I mean, there were rumors, I guess, that 16 might debut today. But yeah, none of that, like, no Silent Hill. Like there were a bunch of stuff that I guess were rumored that didn't hit. So,
but yeah.
Anything else?
Have you guys played Streets of Rage 4 at all?
Yeah,
it's on Game Pass. It's
yeah. I was trying to get Rage in the streets, and they would not do it. They just Chris just played himself.
Let's go. Will play with you, Jeff. It's like, what, 3 gigs? I will re-download it and play it with you.
You already deleted it.
Yeah. I am terrible at it. Like, but
You know, I tried it out. I don't know, man. It's just not my genre, dude. Like,
what? It's a beat-em-up. That's not your genre.
That's what I'm saying. No, I don't know.
How can it not be anybody's genre? I mean,
exactly. You just beat the shit out of cops.
I think it's just, I mean, it works for like the arcade when you're throwing a quarter in and you play a level or two and that's it. Like it doesn't. I'm not taking anything away from it because I think they did a great job with it from what I played. And
it felt like they appreciated the past games. Like the fact that I could have the retro soundtrack, which is just like Streets of Rage 2 in the background.
You could switch.
Yes.
Soundtracks? Okay.
From the get go. And I'm like,
like 16 bit sounding.
Yes. Like,
okay. And not 16 bit sounding. It's the original soundtrack.
Oh, yeah. Like Streets of Rage 2 soundtrack. Like it's exact that one.
Yeah.
Exact one. And it's just like, wow, this is like, that was my first game. So I have a lot of love for that. So, I mean, it's just, yeah, it's fanfare and everything.
The one thing I was going to say, like, I think, you know, the one beat-em-up I, like, kind of hold above the rest is Streets of Rage 2, so.
For sure.
You know, I get it. It's just, you know, it wasn't enough. The only way I would play through that game is if we were playing through it, and it's like, all right, let's do this tonight. Like, let's, you know.
Done. Yeah, and it's possible. It's about, you could beat it in, like, two and a half hours.
Yeah,
it's true. It's not very long.
But, yeah, and then, like, you know, to Fadi's point, you also, as you go through, you also knock 2D version, you unlock versions of the characters from previous games, and what I like about that is not only do you unlock them, but they control slightly different. Like, they don't have the abilities that they introduced in 4, they have the abilities they had in the game that they have. Mm-hmm. So, like, when you unlock Streets of Rage 1, Axu, and Blaze, they don't have any special attacks. The police car that does the rocket, which was their special move in 1, so they didn't get individual special moves until 2, and then when you unlock 2, they had those. So it's a really nice way to have a variety of characters without, while still paying respect to the franchise as it was.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Jeff, if you want to play it, I will re-download it.
Yeah, let me know, because I think you get 3 people in there, so.
All right, we'll do this. We'll get it done.
All right. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Carry me through this shit.
Anything else, Fozzie?
That's it, man. That's it. That's all I've got.
Jeff, what have you been playing?
I played my first new video game since April 3rd. No, Resident Evil 3 counts as new.
Okay, so. Yep.
Yeah, I got Clubhouse Games for the Switch.
No willpower.
Yeah. The funny thing is, I remember talking shit about that series on the show like two, 3 weeks before it came out. Yeah.
and then gave it all up.
I think I was just itching to get something new, you know? I don't know. And like, I don't know, looking at some reviews, kind of like, I don't know, you talk yourself into this shit sometimes, but I'm having a lot of fun with it. It's really, really well done. I think that it has like amazingly good graphics for what it is. It's just, you know, all these like old board games and shit. It is like a tough like sell like to recommend to other people. I think it's like you could probably play blackjack on your phone for free. So why are you gonna spend, you know, especially at the price point that this is at, $40? You know, seems a bit much. But if you don't care about that, it's a really fun addition to your Switch library. You know,
how is bowling?
Okay, so it basically has Wii Bowling on it. I would, like, if I'm being 100% honest, I think Wii Bowling is a little better. I think it has more personality. This is very, like, it doesn't show a character walking up, you know, and stuff like that, right? It, like, plays the same, you know? You could either adjust where you're standing or move the line from where you're standing. You know, exactly how you would expect it to play, you know, like, in Wii Bowling, but... you do not have to let go of the trigger to let go of the ball. It'll like automatically do that for you. You just like have to,
when you hit a point in your swing.
Yeah. You just have to hold down the trigger to let it know when you're starting your swing, and you can keep your finger on the trigger the whole time. It'll automatically, let go of the ball when it should. So like that right there is a difference that could be significant for sure. You know, I do feel like, maybe the pin physics are a little like not as good here also. Like I found it very easy to get strikes. Like I've had several games now where I've gotten 4 strikes in a row. So but like overall it's like it's really cool to have essentially Wii Bowling. Like for the most part, like 90% of the way it's Wii Bowling, and if you had friends over, they would be really fucking like, you know, I think amused by that. Like, oh yeah, oh shit, man, now you can do this on the Switch, you know? Yeah, but if you put a gun in my head and said which one's better, I say Wii Bowling's a little better. But I mean, shit, man, this is one of 51 games I think on this.
Yeah, and there's a lot of games.
But yeah, bowling is fun. Like I was playing by myself last night, still playing the bowling.
Okay.
It's
one of the things I'm interested in with it, so
I really have kind of honed in on a couple games I'm into. So I guess the first night I was just going through everything. Like I'm gonna play toy baseball, I'm gonna play bowling, I'm gonna play toy tennis, I'm gonna play like just fucking almost everything. And now it's like I'm really addicted to, I like pulling out the bowling, but I'm really addicted to backgammon on the game, and this game called Mancala. You know, just board games, the classic board games. I think it's cool because it did teach me, like, I didn't know how to play those games before playing it, and, like, the game does a really good job of teaching you the games within, like, 2 minutes. Like, it's amazing how well it teaches you how to play the games. Any game you load up, there's like a introduction where like these two characters come out and like, oh, what are you playing? I'm playing, you know, I'm playing chess, and the object of this game, like, and they just start talking about the game and they explain it, and then you could go see, you could read basic rules after that, and also look at hints for each game. And yeah, like, so there's like a whole bunch of games I never knew how to play. I'm embarrassed to say. I'm actually sad that Spades is not on here, because it's a game I don't know that everyone I know loves. And, you know, I'm like too embarrassed to learn it with a group.
Nobody's going to teach you. That's the way. You either know or you don't know. It's one of those things that just magically happens when you are in... For me, it was high school. You just kind of... You either know or you don't know. Nobody wants to sit there and have you screw them over because you can't make books.
Yeah, I think it's part of it. But just part of it. I'm like bad at like learning a game with a group of people like that the first time. Like, I don't know. It's just this is a very good job of doing that. So yeah, I learned a bunch of shit. I've never known how to play. Like, I never knew how to play dominoes. Guess what? Now I know how to play dominoes. You know, like,
wait, you never knew how to play dominoes?
No. I'm gonna say something really embarrassing here. I never knew how to play checkers.
Oh my god!
Yeah. You're the kid.
I played chess.
Nerd.
I only ever played chess, and honestly, now that I know how to play checkers, I'm like, I don't understand why you would ever want to play checkers. Like, chess is a million times better.
No, chess is a better strategy game, but
chess is a better game. Period. Checkers is like, once you figure it out, the guy who moves second always wins.
It seems like one of those types of things, though. Yeah, it's just like, okay, like, every move is so obvious and forced that, like, yep. What is the point of playing this? Yeah. But the big one for me, you know, I'll shut up after this, but, like, the big one for me is backgammon, dude. Never understood that game. My parents used to try to explain it to me when I was a kid, and I would always be like, I don't get it. I am addicted to backgammon. I think the game is really fucking fun. Fozzie, you a backgammon guy?
Yeah, dude. Like, that's my mom used to play that all the time with me, like, back in the day.
Yeah, my parents had the little suitcase, and they were like kind of they were big on it. Like, they would just play each other all the time. They'd be sitting around. You know, I finally, you know, this game did a good job of explaining it, and I've like played people online. Fucking, I played every single difficulty that's available on the game. I guess that's one other cool thing about Clubhouse games is there is a lot of difficulties. Like, it starts off on normal. There's no easy difficulty, but then it goes like hard, amazing, and impossible. So there's like four for every, I think almost every single game. So anyways, I don't know. A lot of shit on there. A lot of it is like, I don't think I'm going to play all that much of, like I said, like, I don't think I'm going to play chess or I'm not going to play checkers that much, but fuck, I'm addicted to at least a couple of them right now.
I will get that game when it is on sale, if it ever goes on sale.
All right, play me some backgammon.
I don't know how to play backgammon, but
it'll teach you and play some bowling. Do a little bowling.
And honestly, and I'm sure people probably put these up on YouTube. That was one of the reasons I was actually interested. Like, there are like not chess or checkers or anything like that, but there, like, Mahjong is a game I've always been interested in, and I have no idea how to play that.
Yeah, I haven't played that one yet.
But isn't that like on every Microsoft device? Like, can't you just play that?
I don't know if they put games on their devices anymore.
No, they do.
Well, it's, I mean, like,
you can definitely get Mahjong for free.
Yeah,
it's not that hard. It's a lot of fun. You should play it.
But yeah, there are other ones that they have on it. That was just an example, partially because I just saw Crazy Rich Asians recently again, and that's the game they play in the big quote unquote chromatic scene where she's playing her mother. Hit the dude's mother.
Yeah. All right. Well, it sounds better than I was expecting, Jeff. So
it's really well done. It's just you got to decide whether $40 is cool with you or not, considering the type of game it is.
Mm-hmm.
I was so ready for something that's like a brand new game, and just, I don't know, something about it was like, it kept picking at me to where I had to buy it, and I'm happy I did. Like, I put aside the price, and I just go, this is fun, I'm having fun with it. I'm probably going to end up playing a decent amount of this, especially when I have friends over.
It's a damn shame that Nintendo did not put out a port of one of their greatest RPGs ever, like, a week before, so you could have found something new to play. Oh, yes.
So, Earl, tell us about Xenoblade Chronicles Definitive Edition.
I've actually not started that yet.
Okay.
Damn it. I need to know if I need to buy it.
Can I throw out one disclaimer that I forgot to mention during the Clubhouse games?
Yeah.
Clubhouse games suck.
No, because what I just said then is it's cool when you have friends over. It's cool when you have friend over.
One friend over.
A lot of games don't go up to four players. And and I think that might even include, like, bowling, dude. Like,
ooh.
Ooh.
Really weird choices, and I feel like, you know, Nintendo should put in four players where they can. I don't understand why some of them. I understand why backgammon's not, or chess is not, right? But, like, you know, something like Like bowling should be four players.
Can we get a Switch sports game, like where, like kind of like Wii Sports, but with bowling and tennis?
I mean, this is kind of it. This is kind of it.
It was weird. I was mentioning the other day that there is only like they just completely abandoned the Mii, and because I feel like the Mii would have been perfect for this type of game where they add that little bit of personality. But yeah, like it's weird that like I'm thinking like this would have been the perfect time for like if, even if you were rushing it like to do like what was it called Wii Sports Club?
Yep.
When they did like the like we're not going to charge you, but we're going to charge you to play this like 24 hours. Yeah, port that over, and it's like, yeah, I think people would want to pay Wii Sports Online. Just sell it for like $20. No, like that free to start or whatever nonsense they tried just didn't work. But yeah, I'm surprised that like, I mean, I guess part of it is they've had a lot of different experiments with like Abo and Ring Ventures, but like just throw people a bone, they want that Wii Sports.
It's you know, and they still kind of have it like the controllers for it on the Switch and whatnot, like. I don't know why they don't. It would sell like crazy, dude. I would buy it. Shit, you know?
Yeah, immediately.
Yeah.
Earl, since you haven't been playing Xenoblade Chronicles and can't tell Tony if he needs to buy it or not, what have you been playing?
Well, part of the reason I have not played Xenoblade Chronicles Definitive Edition is, as I mentioned weeks ago, is I started Xenoblade Chronicles 2, Touring the Golden Country, which is a DLC for Xenoblade Chronicles 2, and I wanted to finish that up before I started Definitive Edition. And the reason I started that game was I had that itch for some Xenoblade, and I read everywhere it's like a 15-hour game. Like, 15 hours, I unlocked this out in no time. And then the same that happens with every Xenoblade game happens to me, and I just kind of get suckered in. I'm already into like 30 hours of the game. And it's still like I don't know what it is about that franchise, but the battle system just draws me in so much, and the world is just so vast, interesting, and it's like it's absolutely like not everything is, but there are some absolutely stunning environments in the franchise, and they always just know how to present it to you well, where you just hit up at certain things at a certain time at a certain angle, and it's just like jaw dropping to see, and that's happened to me two or three times in the last week playing this game. One of the things I like about this game over two is it has a focus. Where instead, you know, like most RPGs, you tend to have a very vast party system, and the same thing happened with two, where I think two has like four or five playable characters, but you have three people on your team, and then each person on your team has an ability to get a bunch of different plays. I think there's something like 60 plays in the game. There's a ton of different combinations you can make. And then, like, you know, it's different elements. It's a fine system, but it's a bit in the weeds. This one simplifies it. You have three characters. Each character has two blades to them. There's not any random gotcha mechanic. It's just these two characters that are with you. So you have a very focused, like, everybody has a very defined, this is the healer, this is the tank, this is the attacker mode. You can equip different weapons for different elements and stuff like that, so part of that still remains. But yeah, they simplify so much of the battle system that just makes it really enjoyable. And I enjoy doing that. And like I said, I got sidetracked this week. I think I spent, like, I'm just going to turn it on before work and get some progress done, and I'll spend like an hour running around doing side quests and hearing the little stories and building out the world. And much like they do in the first game, like all of the side quests is also kind of tied to this larger tapestry. In this sense, you're building community, so you're building up the people in it. You're building up the people, the world, so the different relationships, the different people joining the military, the people, different people moving and getting all this other stuff. And as you, like, they have a circle grid, and as you kind of do it, it just kind of expands out. And what starts as you, your main character and their blade becomes like this thing where you're just surrounded. I think right now I have a relationship with 77 different characters from all the things I've helped them do and stuff like that. Yes. some of it is a pain in the ass, but they've done a much better job of letting you know where characters are. So when you have to turn in quests, that's one thing that I don't necessarily like the change that they made in two and this one. In the first one, there's a lot of quests, especially quests where it's like, go here, collect this, go here, kill these enemies, where it's just like, you've done it. That's your mission. Here's your experience points and your rewards. go about your days. There are some, you know, there were some quests where it's like, it's a train where it's like, you have to speak to this person, you know, speak to that person. That's fine because it's a specific, like, arc. But if it's just like, go kill three enemies, it was always like, you kill those three enemies, yeah, you completed that mission. But two, and this one added the, like, okay, now you have to go back and confirm that you killed these three enemies to the person who gave you the quest. And I'm like, that's not as fun. Aside from Xenoblade and more Animal Crossing, I continued my summer of Diablo. So I've mentioned before, I'm playing Diablo 3, I'm playing Path of Exile, I played Minecraft Dungeons, and just because I wanted to mix it up a bit, I started Torchlight 2 today, so...
Yeah, you know, just get them all out there.
I mean, they are the perfect quarantine games, because they're kind of endless, because you could beat them, and then you and your friends can be like, okay, now I'm going to be... I actually started Diablo with the same friends I'm playing it with now, but we started with different characters, so now I have a... Demon Hunter and a Berserker. So now I have a melee character and a mid-range character. And then it's like, okay, I can mix it up. And then each one, you know, feels slightly different. Diablo has multiple classes. Path of Exile just has a really, 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 really in-depth skill tree, which is very intimidating. Minecraft Dungeon exists.
That it does.
And Torchlight kind of marries the two between Diablo and Path of Exile, where you have a skill tree that you have a bit more control over, but there's not as many skills, but you put points in as you need it and not necessarily like, okay, this is what you kind of unlock this ability for this character, and then you unlock this sub ability for this character, and you can put on whatever you want in that regard. So, yeah, and again, I think Torchlight of the four has the best. Actually, I guess Minecraft Dungeon style is really good too, but the game is just kind of there. Because it's really like, you don't really roleplay as anything. You're just kind of this character, and depending on the weapon you get, you might end up.
There's only like what, 9 or 10 levels total. Like that game.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, it's kind of like Paper Mario or Pokemon, where it's like my first dungeon crawler.
Yes.
So I imagine like it's, but like the problem with that is like it's Minecraft dungeon, and then there's like this huge leap forward to like Diablo. Like there's no middle ground right now, and that's what somebody needs to get to, is that middle ground between the two.
Yep. I will go back to Minecraft Dungeons when they release that, whatever that expansion is that they're doing, but game kind of feels unfinished how it is right now. Anything else though?
I think that's it for me.
On my side, outside of golf with your friends, which has been
game
fun for the last month,
game of the year.
It is so dumb.
You like golfing with your friends?
Yeah, have you played it at all, Fozzy?
I've heard about the game. It's like,
oh, you should play it with us next time. It is so good. Yeah,
it's.
Hope I could stick around the entire time.
It's broken in like every imaginable way, but it's amazingly fun for
I like that.
It's super simple. There's, you know, we play the party mode, which has the like Mario Kart upgrades and weapons that you can kind of
you can turn other people into stuff like acorns or like cubes or stuff.
Yeah, and it's always like, it always happens at the worst time, too.
I don't know, there's a lot of times where I'll be turning like something where my ball just stopped. I'm like, thank God.
We played a basketball mode. On
that is broken. That is utterly. I won, go me, but actually getting the ball to go into the hoop, broken.
There's a hockey mode we haven't tried yet. There's a ton of courses too. I think 11 courses or so. Like we haven't duplicated any courses until the basketball mode.
And that changes it up because you're thinking of it differently. Because you're also you're not just thinking of you're also thinking of it vertically. Because essentially, the tip with the basketball is you can't be underneath the net. You have to kind of
have the momentum
and jump into it. So it actually sometimes I would just before it broke me, I would back up my shot and then take it again because I tried from underneath the net. You would just go in and out, and that doesn't count.
You can't. Yeah, you can be like directly under the net, and you can send your ball straight up. Doesn't count. You have to like come in from the outside.
It's part of Game Pass. So if you have Game Pass, it's free with that. And just for being
money well spent.
Yeah, it's super amount of fun. Like, and everyone's always doing something. I think that's what's kind of fun about it is because like you're always going for you're trying to get to the hole yourself, and everybody else is also doing it. So you're never just like waiting for somebody else. I mean, I guess if you get in the hole, you're waiting for the last person. But that's when it gets funny because it's just like, what the hell?
They
just
spend the time like, why are you over there? What are you doing?
It's not like a more realistic golf game where it's like whoever's furthest from the hole, they get the next. It's just like you're always just
everyone running. Just goes.
No, sometimes that may work out in your. It's a really weird game in the sense that sometimes collision happens and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like there are times where it's like we're gonna take a shot. It's like, oh no, we both took the same shot, so we're just gonna knock each other out. I think this was the first time we played it. I think I was near to getting getting the ball in the hole, and I think Tony's shot came in and it knocked me out.
I remember knocking you out, and my shot went in too.
Yeah, because it was like circling around, and you were just like, nope. I'm like, God damn it.
And there's a worms level that I don't think Earl got to experience that one. Jeff did, and he quit. he had other things going on.
Food ordering issues.
You were also super frustrated with that level.
Yeah, I was, and so
I think that was one of the best levels we played. I'm just saying.
Well, Tony thinks any level where he wins is one of the best levels. So yeah, I played that. I finally wrapped up and deleted Forza Horizon 3 off of my hard drive. I finished the campaign for the Hot Wheels DLC.
Yeah.
That is an amazing piece of DLC. I know it's similar to the Burnout Paradise, with the Big Surf Island or something like that. Like they kind of have like a Hot Wheels type thing going on in that. But this is like, it's official Hot Wheels. And they do a great job on just making it feel like a human-sized Hot Wheels track.
Agreed.
I think that is the, for me at least, it's the best racing game of this generation.
Yeah, I agree. I made a joke on Twitter that Burnout Paradise was because they re-released it, but like Sean quickly corrected me, and I was like, "Oh yeah, I forgot about Horizon altogether." So, that's the best one, and a lot of it for me is also that Hot Wheels DLC. Like, it just looks cool seeing like Hot Wheels rendered like that, and like that amazing graphics engine and shit. It's just like,
it looks great. Like,
yeah. It's like if Hot Wheels made a game, it would never look that good. Like,
no. In fact, I think Hot Wheels game. Yeah. That there is a Hot Wheel game out there that does not look great. So I finished that up and finally moved on fully to Horizon 4, which is fine. It look the environments of 3 are just way better. Because it spans the beaches, the deserts, the jungle, like the forest jungle areas of the rainforest of Australia. Like, there's just way more variety than Horizon 4, which is England. And it's Horizon 4 is a beautiful game. It's just there's just not as much variety even with the seasons.
But you get tea and crumpets. Oh wait, you can get that in Australia too. Never mind.
Also, they load Horizon 4 with so much shit. Like, it just feels like there's so much more to do, but it's not actually progressing you in any way. It's just like a bunch of meters that are ticking up. I did buy the expansion pack for it, though. So I guess there's two expansions that came. They were on sale this past week. So it's Fortune Island, and there's a Lego DLC, which debuted last year. I guess makes everything look Lego. So
Lego.
Those games are great. And then I went back and started Assassin's Creed Odyssey over again.
Yeah. Did you finish it the first time?
I hadn't finished it the first time. So
I need to finish that.
Yeah, I made it like 3/4 of the way through, and I had no idea where the fuck I was at when booted it up. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, yeah, you can just kind of go to the marker, but combat wasn't making any sense. Because there's way more like over Origins. Like you now have like your bow has special abilities tied to it, and your sword has special abilities tied to it. So I was like, I'm just gonna kick this off again, go back to the original island, and start over. That game has such a great like after you get past that intro island.
Yeah,
it's so
beautiful.
Yeah,
but God, it's so intimidating how big it is.
Yeah,
it's massive. Like
it's by far like the biggest fucking game I've ever seen in my life, dude.
Crazy. And it's like,
so cool. Like once you get into the islands and see all the stuff there, there's so much to do and so much to see.
For
like,
sure.
Even removing the doing stuff, like just going places and like observing like all the statues and all the environments. It looks so great.
Mm-hmm.
Love that game.
So Tony, what have you been playing?
I've been playing a lot of Apex Legends, as you're probably not surprised. In honor of Jeff, I decided to play some Unity of Command 2.
Thanks. Appreciate it, buddy.
No, I see. Not much has changed.
So it's a strategy game playing as
God,
Western allies.
Can like strategy games not have any other name besides like the most fucking like obvious names? Like, you know what that is. I guess that's, yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. Does Unity of Command 2 mean anything? I mean,
it has to be Unity or Universalist or fucking some bullshit-ass name.
It just means strategy. Like that.
Yeah.
Those names just, they're just like, this is these are words that go together that indicate always, strategy game.
It's always like something of something, yeah, something and of it's something. Always like heroic or something bullshit like that, so. No, you know what you're doing there.
I do.
So what is this game, Tony?
So this is a divisional scale game where you play through the campaigns of the Western Allies, basically starting from after the Battle of Khazarine Pass. So there's a campaign. You play with driving the Germans out of Africa, and then you invade Sicily and Italy and then Normandy, and you play through all the French campaigns and, you know, the Battle of the Bulge and invade Germany. And depending on how well you do in those battles, the campaign branches out and you can do other things that didn't happen historically.
Cool.
Which is kind of cool. So basically, Operation Market Garden, I don't know if you guys know what that
is,
but
Band of Brothers, baby.
Yeah, I was about to say that is Band of Brothers.
So Band of Brothers is part of it, but the part that's not in Band of Brothers is the fact that they dropped a bunch of British paratroopers in like one of the cities in Germany and tried to hold the bridge there, but they couldn't do it, so they ended up having to surrender. So the campaign ended up failing, but in the game, if you succeed, the next fight you play, instead of going to the Battle of the Bulge or anything like that, is literally fighting in Germany because you guys have you've moved your armies into Germany. So it's a turn-based strategy game. You're moving divisions around the map, conquering territory. The divisions get experience over time, so they've added a lot of like RPG elements to it. So they'll get not just like status upgrades, but you can also add like battalions to divisions. So like you have an infantry division and you can upgrade it to have an anti-tank battalion or an artillery battalion, which gives them like special abilities. And those divisions carry over from mission to mission. So the campaign kind of has this build-up where you your units kind of get better over time. If your army, each unit is assigned to be part of an army, and as the units in the army succeed, the army also succeeds and gets to upgrade and gets more abilities. So there's a lot of like cool like RPG elements to it. The first Unity of Command game got a lot of criticism for being less of a war game and more of like a puzzle-solving type chess game. And this is a lot like that. You'll spend a lot of time like looking at the map and figuring out, okay, I need to move this unit here and do this, and then move this unit here and do this right after, so that you know you have this cascading effect, as opposed to coming up with like a grand military strategy plan. It's from that aspect, like you don't need to know a lot about quote unquote war to figure this game out. It's definitely a puzzle solving type strategy game.
Okay.
But it's kind of cool how the campaign branches out, so you have reason to like keep playing through the missions. I was a little confused by the place where the game starts. Historically, the Battle of Khazarine Pass was like the baptism of fire that American troops got in Europe, and the game starts after that, which is a little surprising to me. But whatever, I'm invading Sicily right now, so we'll see how far I get.
Anything else?
I also have been playing a lot of Total War Warhammer 2. A bunch of expansion packs went on sale on Humble Bundle this past week, so I've been playing through a lot of that stuff. That game is still the best Total War game. So much fun. I unlocked an ability where one of my guys calls in this Strike from the Gods, which is basically the Hammer of Dawn from Gears, where it just hits a spot and then just like brings this beam of energy down from the sky and just like moves it across the enemy army and slaughters enemies in its path. So in the game, like an army might field like 900 troops in a battle, and I managed to kill 200 in one shot with that. I'm like, yeah,
nice,
that's good. So that game is still so much fun, and every time there's an expansion, it's a reason to go back. I think I have like 370 hours of the game now. It's just so good. It's so good.
Nice. Before we wrap up, Jeff had suggested for, you know, our special 500th episode.
Ooh, Jeff.
How has gaming changed over the last 10 years? For us, we started out doing this show in 2010, Mass Effect, Halo, Pac-Man Championship Edition DX.
Yep.
On the 360 and PS3 and Wii at that point. And we've gone through an entire generation. There's a new generation is about to start. So how has gaming changed for us all here?
Yeah, I think about the amount of time, I imagine it's for all of us here, in some ways, it's got to have changed.
I mean, for any of us, our lives are completely different.
You know what I'm saying? Maybe it's the same, though. Maybe everything is exactly the same for you. Like, that'd be interesting, too, to hear. Like, I don't know.
I think to, like, if I play a game now, I am way more likely to give up.
Yeah.
Like, well, 10 years ago, I didn't have as much money as I did now. Now I can get any game that I want whenever I want it. And 10 years ago, that wasn't the case. So yeah. If I picked up a game I didn't really like, I still played it through to the end. And now, if I'm playing a game, I'm like, this sucks, and I'm in like the first 45 minutes, I just move on to the next game. I'm not going to put myself through anything. Mm-hmm. But back then, I'm like, oh, I played Dante's Inferno to completion. Great. Go me.
So did I.
Oh, no. So, is the question like how it's changed us, or how like gaming, in our opinion, has changed?
How has gaming changed for you since 2010?
Well, I feel like, you know, with the graphic improvements and things like that, there's definitely more of a cinematic experience that I feel with games. Like, I actually have an emotional bond to some games now that I would never have playing, you know, even like, I don't know, Mass Effect 1 maybe, but...
Have any of, like, your, like, habits or, like, interests changed since then, or are you, like, still kind of into the same games? And...
I would say, like, I'm definitely, I mean, as the internet's gone better, like, I'm definitely more... multiplayer oriented at times compared to what we used to play. I'd say so. It's
funny because, like, I think that I've kind of gone the opposite.
Yeah, I would say me too. I don't play multiplayer all that much at all.
Like, unless I'm playing with, like, you guys, like. Yeah, like
I mean, but like the whole decade or the past like 2 or 3 years.
I mean,
we played a lot of like Gears of War and stuff.
Yeah, and I do. There are games that I will go and play multiplayer by myself. Like, and Halo hasn't been out, right? Like, we have not had a brand new Halo game in what, 5 years? I think Earl said earlier. Like,
really. I guess so.
I still play a lot of multiplayer local, though. Yeah, I think that's always been true, though. Like, I don't think that's something that's increased for me. I just still do it a lot. Like, I was playing Mortal Kombat the last probably 2-3 weeks with my buddy, like Saturday night and shit. Come over drunk and playing Mortal Kombat.
I think I play less with randoms. Like when we were playing, like when we would play Gears, like I wasn't doing a ton of. I was doing a ton of like a horde, but I'd play a horde with bots or whatever, or with you guys.
I was gonna say the one thing. I mean, one of the things that has changed is like that is very particular. Like, I have these multiplayer games now that just like these are games I play with friends because it's like it's such a chore to kind of find a game everybody wants to play and then find it. So like, this is a good example. I still am not beating that game because I'm playing the campaign with friends, and it's whenever the three of us. Just the three of us and not like a fourth or a fifth person joins. And it's like, okay, do we want this game? And I'm surprised you and Tony haven't mentioned because you both had kids who have grown up. So I assume you also played games different with them than you did when you were young, like younger 10 years ago.
I would not have imagined that I would be playing, you know, Fortnite with my son and my daughter. you know, with them playing on their phones and one on the Xbox and me on the Switch, like that was a weird when we did that. That was really strange.
I mean, that's not personal, but that is a massive change. Is the fact that there are games now you don't have to be on the same system to play together.
Yep.
Like I play Fortnite on my Xbox, my friends on the PC. And we can kind of play together. Like, that's still kind of fun. Nobody's really figured that out yet. Like, I think you can have the epic stuff in game, but that's aside from the point. That has changed massively. To Tony's point earlier, one of the things that has changed the way I play games is games with Gold and PlayStation Plus, because now you get these free games. And I have so much more willing to give up on free games, because it's like, oh, this is free. I don't care for it. Off it goes.
Yep. Okay.
When you used to have to pay for them, it's like I pay for this. I'm going to try to get my money's worth. Now it's like, what's next month?
In Game Pass, too, over the last like year and a half or so, even just amongst us, like, I don't think any of us would have put money out for Golf with Your Friends, right? Like, it does not present well. Jeff might have purchased it in a drunken haze, but
hey,
I think I would have been. I think I said to you guys before. I'm like, I don't know if I'd be happy if I bought this.
Yeah, you did.
I don't know though. Like, if to become a thing where we're playing it like every week though, and fucking, it is really fun to play with friends. So, like, ultimately, I'd be like, whatever. It's $20. Who gives a shit? Like,
yep. But that gives us that ability to just like test shit out. And, like,
sensing. A certain disposable theme going on here. Everyone's like, yeah, I don't give a fuck. If I hate the game, I fucking move right on.
Well, I think with time, we have more expendable income and things like that, so.
And there's more variety now, too. Like, there wasn't a decade ago, but.
I think there was more variety back then, personally.
Well,
I'm going to go with Earl a little bit on that.
There's more available. You're probably right that there's more variety.
There's more stuff that catered to me 10 years ago.
And we got those B tier games. We don't get them now. It's like you either get like the low tier, like whatever the fuck they are, or AAA games.
AAA, at that point. Yeah.
But there's still like every day, like there are games releasing on Xbox and PlayStation, and
there's more games than ever releasing.
They're not all good.
I tend to go to a store. There's probably like 50 new games that no one's ever heard of that are like $3. You know, but I don't. For me, there's like two things that came to mind when I thought of that question, and one is like in 2010 versus now. I treated gaming more like it was my job, like where I had to know every fucking thing about everything that was coming out. A part of it was like I worked at GameStop, so
yeah, it was my job,
literally. But like, also, like I thought, oh, you know, I was like trying to get into journalism and, you know, maybe game journalism as well. So it was like, this is an area I know something about and I stay on top of. So like, I just felt like, you know, back then, I think like back then I might still read IGN. I don't fucking go on IGN. I haven't been on IGN.com in probably fucking 6 years, dude. You know what I mean? Like, I don't go to Polygon. I don't go to any of these sites. Whatever I see it on Twitter. I don't give a shit.
That's definitely true, is that, like, social media has changed that dramatically.
I don't really care about reviews either, like... I don't care what the average score for a game is. Like, I watch reviews on YouTube, and, it, you know, that can inform my decision. But mostly, like, I'm just like, if that game looks cool, I want to play it. Like, I don't really care. Like, if the game is a 6, great, whatever, it's fine.
But, yeah, it's not, like, I definitely had that mentality before.
I don't need to be a 10.
Yeah, I was like, I'm not like, touching that. Like that was a 7. Fuck that game. Now it's definitely more willing to try out other stuff.
But even all right, with that said, the other thing for me is I do feel like I kind of have honed in on like the stuff that I like. Like I know I like back then it was like, again, also probably because I worked at GameStop too, I could check out games. It was like anything that came out, new Ghost Recon, I'm trying that out. And I'm like, I know I don't like Ghost Recon, so I don't care. I'm just going to fucking play some platformer. You know what I mean? Like, I'm still very open-minded about games. Like, and I'm always discovering new things that I like. And, you know, sometimes I like something in a genre that's not for me. But, like, I've noticed at least over the last year, especially, like, just like play a lot of platformers and Zelda type games, and I don't know. I'm like more focused in on like what I'm into because I know that I'm gonna be into that type of game, as opposed to like, you know, I already sowed my oats. I've seen what's out there, and I'm like, okay, I know what
old like man. No, I think you actually, I think that's the main point. I think we can all agree on is that we know exactly what we want. I don't think I'm ever surprised by a game as far as how much I like it nowadays. Like, I'm like, oh yeah, this game has everything I like. I'm going to enjoy this. And
I know my kinks.
Yeah. I'm still surprised by games.
No, not possible.
I think it's more in the indie space where you kind of like a good example of that recently saw in our Wild Hearts. Like, I had no idea what to expect going into that game. Or even my game of the year, Shade of Spire, I had no idea what to expect from that. And it just turned out to be one of those games where the loop was just so fantastical that I just find myself going back to that every so often to play a few rounds just because it's so addicting to just kind of want a perfect run going. So I hope that for me that never goes away. I'm never not surprised by something new and exciting in any form of it. I still want movies and TV. Like, I know there's stuff I enjoy. Like, I will get the next Mario game, I'll get the next Zelda, I'll get Halo, I'll get Gears. But I want that game to come out that completely blindsides me and takes over my and I'm always there for that. I'm always there to find that new high.
I think that's why
my boy.
I think that's part of the reason why I was so high on Sayonara Wild Hearts, because it just like slapped me in the face. I didn't know what it was. It came out of nowhere. It was a great like hour and a half experience. Like, you know, it was just fucking cool shit.
I think that's also what's sort of been disappointing about this gen is the big games, like the big AAA huge budget games, are not surprising. Like, they are just continuations of stuff we played on the previous two gens. That's not to say they're bad. They're not surprising. Like, the big budget games are not, because these companies are investing so much money into them that they're not maybe taking the risks that...
Except Breath of the Wild.
Well, even Breath of the Wild... Like, Breath of the Wild is still very much in a... It's a Zelda game. Like, it's...
Dude.
You can take a risk because it's
way harder. Like, Nintendo went in a different fucking ass direction with that Zelda game.
No, but it's still like, it's like still kind of like, it's within Zelda. Like, there's still certain elements. Like, there's still the Master Sword. There's still Link and Zelda and Ganon. Like, there are elements that it's enough. It's kind of like a second language now. Like, I always point out to, like, Mario Maker. The reason Mario Maker works and very few other games will, is that Mario is a language of itself unique to video games. So you understand when you see a Goomba what it does. You understand when you see a Koopa Trooper. And you can take that and you can mix it around in so many different and unique ways. But it's because it's like at the baseline, you understand the fundamentals of what this franchise is.
Oh, and you know, yeah, it's a franchise. Like, it wasn't a new...
Well,
it wasn't a new thing entirely, obviously.
Yes and no. I mean, I've hated every Zelda except for Breath of the Wild, so that should tell you something. I don't think we ever want to not be surprised, but I just feel like I'm very confident in what I like. So, like I said, Breath of the Wild was a super surprise for me. It's my game of the year.
And I agree with you to an extent. Like, part of what's disappointing to me is a lot of the annual franchises do nothing for me. So, like, as that's become more and more of a thing, like, I don't do Assassin's Creed. I don't do Call of Duty. I don't really do I play Battlefield with you folks for a bit. I don't do any of the sports titles. So that takes up, like, maybe a good 50% of most fall titles. So it's, like, everything else that then has to bring that up. And then... So yeah, there it is where I'm like, oh man, I'm getting a game every weekend. And this year is where it's like, I got a bunch of old games I could check out, I guess. Or right now, I'm like, oh, I should dig into some indie games, especially with sales on, like, every platform for quote unquote not E3 week. I will say personally, the one thing that is somewhat gaming related tangentially that has changed over the past decade is that I've gotten into video game movies over the past decade. My first time watching it. The first time I watched Street Fighter was a decade ago, and that's kind of what started this whole really, really messed up, demented thing into get into video games, movies. And it is part of my, you know, I hate using the term, but it is part of my brand, I guess, online, is I'm the guy who somehow suffers all these movies time and time again. But that's one of the things that has changed. And I always go in with the open heart that one of them is going to be good. And I mean, I enjoy Detective Sonic, but I have no faith in Monster Hunter.
No, none at all.
I saw some people saying the poster for that game, or for that game, for that movie, it looked cool, and I'm like, I didn't think so. Like, it looks cheap and fucking horrible.
Oh, there's a poster for it? Oh, no.
For Monster Hunter? Yeah, I think so,
No!
So, I mean,
it's just like a person standing there with a weapon in, like, a bunch of empty space.
Just real quick, I did put this out to Twitter, and I got a few responses, and something that made me think. I think some of it we've already touched on. One person that resonated with a few people is I can afford it now, which is a big thing. A lot of people can now. Like, gaming is a hobby that we can, like, I mean, if we had to, we could all buy new systems at the end of the year.
Right.
Yeah.
If I wanted to.
For example, I'm not going to get the PS5 because I know I'm not going to play it as much. You know what I mean? Like, it back 10 years ago, I've been like, well, you got to get all the systems. You got to be on top of all the new games that come out. Like, you got to know. Like, and it's just, now I'm just like, whatever, man. Like, fucking, when's the new fucking Pikmin coming out? God damn it.
Never. I was never like that, but I've somehow ended up with all three systems the last two generations, so.
No, I will eventually, I'm sure, you know, but it's just less urgent to me. Like, it's like, okay.
One of the things somebody mentioned that it's true, and it's something that I take for granted personally nowadays, is the ease of sharing now. Like, you can screenshot and video capture, like, any moment in video games awesome. With the press of a button. And, like, love that it. Is relatively new.
Yeah.
But that's how I... You know,
like, photo mode's fucking awesome too for a lot of games.
Yeah, or just like, you know, Fozzie's streaming a game, I can hop onto his Twitch channel and watch that. Or Tony's screenshots of the Patriots winning.
We'd even dive into that, is that, like, gaming is, for me, honestly, like, sometimes I just watch people play games more than I actually play them. Like, it's satisfying for me.
I've never gotten into that.
Oh,
I don't understand. It's the hugest thing in the world, so, like, I understand, like,
You're so old, Hefe.
I have the most open mind about anything. I fucking listen to, like, brand new fucking shit that I tell my friends about. They're like, what? I've never heard of that band in my life. But I don't get why I want to watch someone play a game.
It's funny. I will watch, like, if Fozzie's streaming something, I'll hop on there, or you know, Danielle, or you know, our friends that
over the last decade. My friends, and so I want to see what they're doing.
Yeah, I generally won't just hop onto, like, a random streamer's stream and watch them.
Either. I won't either.
I can't. I couldn't name you a pop. Like, I guess I could name you popular. Like,
Twitch. Yeah, I mean, you know, Ninja.
Yeah, I know Ninja, but, like, I don't know. I guess he plays, like, probably shooter games or whatever. I don't know, right?
I actually don't know what he plays.
Ninja is our gaming overlord, you asshole.
But, like, that shit, like, that's one thing. It's not, like, a conscious decision by me to, like, retreat from certain things. Like, I honestly, like, it's never appealed to me. Like, I would never.
I will say that with, like, with the increase in video, before, like, I would go to GameFAQs if I needed to, like, find something, right? And, like, you look through, like, the GameFAQs and, like, trying to, like, throw all this fucking text. And now it's just, like, you pop on YouTube and go, you type in exactly what the fuck you want, and somebody has a video on it. Like, the most obscure fucking game, like, there is a walkthrough of it.
You could usually find how to solve this specific puzzle you're on in, like, a minute video. Like, it could be just in a random, like, middle of a mission, like, little thing, and someone will have, like, a 1 minute video you're stuck on.
How fucking crazy is that, man?
Like,
game facts, Jesus.
Which is funny, because, like, you know, this came up on our DM chat, Jeff, but you were talking about the lack of, like, quest log or something in Tales of Vesperia, which you're playing. Yeah. And, like, that's a game that, like, you know, years ago we would have had, like, a notebook or something, but now it's like, man, I'm fucking frustrated. What do I do next? It's all out there. Like, there's so many resources now for us.
Or just, honestly, within the game itself, it's just, like, in Zelda, fucking, like, you place where you want to go on the map, like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can just kind of mark the map up how you want now. And this, there is no big map you can pull up. There's a mini map in the corner. And you have to remember that some person in the town told you, you have to go east after you leave the town. I'm like, God damn it, dude. It's fucking bullshit. I hate these fucking old RPG shit.
Matt, I hope you know your compass, Jeff.
Yeah, I'm fine with a map. Like, I enjoy reading maps, but I wish I could, like, pull up a big map to do that with.
Right.
It's a little square in the fucking corner of my screen. Game's okay.
What else? Any other comments, Earl?
I think this is one that you folks can speak to. Is some people have mentioned they've gotten over the Zyatianist. You know, you don't have to get 100% trophies or achievements in every game.
Yeah.
You have to find every nook and cranny. That's always been my mentality. But I know some people are big diehard achievement hunters. Have any of you changed your mentality? Are you still achievement hunters?
I still love my achievements. I think Tony does too.
I think I've stayed the same for this all. I like when they pop up. Yeah. I don't really like it. That's not a thing for me. I don't 100% a game.
I will look at an achievement list, like, you know, especially after I beat a game, and go, like, what can I get? I won't necessarily, like, I never got into the platinuming.
I don't care.
It's never, been, well, actually, like, I would say that it's declined for me. Like, back in the day, I'd be like, oh, yeah, I played Oblivion, right? The Elder Scrolls one.
Right. Yep.
And dude, I or like 100% of that game. It was like everything, and I want to get that 100%. And now I'll just look at something and be like, oh yeah, like that might be achievable. I think I got it for Rocket League. You know, like that was it though. I got one platinum to my name, and I'm like, I'm good with that. I got one platinum. That's it.
Yeah, I guess like that's maybe it has like diminished in the fact that like before I would have been like, I got to get my score up, but like, I got to get these achievements, and now it's like I would play like a Dante's Inferno or something like where it's like, all right, I'm playing this because I bought it. But I'm also now I'm playing it for achievement points where it's like, all right, well, I bought this and I played it and I got my money's worth, but it's not worth me going through.
I just don't have time now for like to be like, all right, time to do another 30-hour playthrough.
Yeah.
Why are you already picking on Dante's Inferno tonight, though?
I don't know.
Dante.
That game was fine.
But you're all picking on
it. It was fine.
Yeah.
It was okay.
I thought that was a hotness, like, when it came out. People not like it? Was it not good? I don't think I ever
played. It was a God of War clone that, you know, had some issues, but was also okay.
Yeah.
It's like a 7 out of 10 game.
Exactly.
We don't hate those.
No.
I mean, I hate those. 10s are nothing.
Any other comments, Earl?
I'm more curious about this one. Dale, I know that. All of us here because we've done this show enough times, but I think one of the bigger changes in the industry has kind of been that, you know, part of where you don't necessarily see as many games coming out is this idea of games as services, and that was something that started 2010s and the 2020 was like the advancements of like game passes, like actual like I'm gonna buy this game, but you spend like $30 and you'll get DLC, you'll get this. But like that has really become a business model now. You see games like Overwatch, Fortnite, Apex Legends, where like you no longer have a variety of games. You have one or two games that you are very specialized in. And I think that's been a change for a lot of people over the course of this in the past 10 years. I don't necessarily think it's affected anyone. Like Tony has Apex, I play Fortnite from time to time, but we do have other games. It's like for 24/7.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't think I would ever have gotten to the point where I'm like, okay, this is the one game I play, and I don't really need to play anything else. I just don't think I'm wired that way, and I don't know that any of the rest of us are.
What was that, Jeff?
Nothing.
Okay.
Nothing.
Any other comments on there, Earl?
Earl's dead.
Oh, no.
Rest in peace, Earl.
Where did I go?
Oh,
hello?
You
he went silent.
We didn't hear you for a second.
Oh, I wasn't talking.
Oh,
damn it, Earl!
We're talking to you.
Were there any other any other comments?
The rest of it was more about personal taste and stuff like that. Like people who, you know, like aren't shooter fans, so they felt kind of alienated. There were some people who, you know, taste and genres have shifted. I mean, I think personally for me, partially because of the Xenoblade franchise, I have played a lot more RPGs in the past decade because Xenoblade 1 came out. I started playing that in 2007. Since then, it's been X, 2, Torin, and then the Definitive Edition. You know, stuff like that. Even stuff like Mass Effect 3, those kind of like, yeah, it's been I think that's one genre I kind of taken on because I think the genre evolved beyond what I used to hate about it, which is mostly turn-based combat and really janky stories.
That's fair. Reverse on that, like while I have played stuff like, you know, Skyrim or The Witcher 3, and Final Fantasy 15 and stuff, like that used to be a genre that I would play everything that fucking came out in it, and that would be it. But now it's like I play the big ones, but I won't necessarily like go full on with them anymore. I'll play more action adventure games, more confined games that are like 10-15 hours to play. So that I can move on to like another story-based game that's 10 or 15 hours.
Yeah, buddy. That does remind me of another change. And I don't know if any of you do this, but nowadays I really am a huge fan of something like How Long to Beat. Because if I start in a game, I kind of want to know what I'm getting myself into.
I love that site. I check it all the time.
That site is awesome.
I love how we like all the that site. We've never spoken of this before. I don't think I've ever.
Right, but we all use it.
Yeah.
I use it. I log, my completions and stuff on there, and like how long it took to play them. It's a cool site.
Yeah, I check.
It's a headache.
Girl said. If I start a game, I sometimes want to see, is this 2 hours or fucking, is this going to be a while, you know?
Well, it's like I look at it and go, all right, like what's my, I like that site specifically also breaks it down.
Yeah.
Like where it's like, you can rush through it and it'll take hours.
Sure.
Or if you want to do everything, it's going to take you 110 hours.
Yeah.
Like that's, it's cool that, you know, we have outsourced to all the other gamers out there to give us their play through times. Well, it has been 500 episodes.
Here's the 500 more.
Woo-hoo. I'll be here for good old 1,000, baby.
Jesus Christ, I would be over 50 years old at that point.
Ooh.
Oh,
you guys wouldn't be very far behind, motherfuckers.
Nope. Fuck, that's really depressing.
Yeah, it's not. You know, if we're still playing games like that,
that's
in 10
great.
Years,
no, that's great news.
I mean, I'll be happy to be alive still, but shit.
I mean, if
take care of yourself, Jeff. Damn it, please. You better be here for
come 1, on.
Yeah, I don't want to have to like fly out to Illinois for a funeral,
especially Chicago.
We got some good food.
They put ketchup on their hot dogs.
I'll fucking have some hot dogs and Italian beefs at the funeral. Don't worry.
Well, correct. They don't put ketchup on their hot dogs. That's their problem.
No, they do. They do. Oh, they don't. Oh, wait.
Jeff, how do you like your hot dogs?
Like if I do it at home, even if, usually if I order it, it's just like mustard and onion.
Wait,
onion.
Onion. Who doesn't like onions? Come on.
I don't. Man. I hate them. Sauerkraut. Sauerkraut.
Real fucked
sauerkraut.
Up. That's some fucking satanic shit right there. I don't even want to.
Sauerkraut?
Yeah.
Like, both sauerkraut and hating onions. That's some satanic shit.
I guess I'm half satanic.
Ooh.
When I'm cooking in recipes, I replace onions with onion powder all the time.
Ew.
I agree.
I can't stand like the cutting of the onion, the texture, the smell. No, I don't want it.
What? No, onions are.
I like the taste. So great, you know, give me some nice onion powder. We'll put it in there. We'll have onionish ness to it.
That's crazy. That's it. Perfect Saints become a cooking podcast.
Not seen anymore.
I've seen what Jeff's food looks like. I am not eating what he cooks.
Oh, Jeff's sad pasta. It's like a fucking iconic franchise. Maybe.
Sad. Wait till you put it in your mouth, you'd be smiling. Wait.
Crying.
Please.
Crying.
All right.
Sad pasta.
It's just been fun. Hopefully, we will continue to do this. Who knows for how long, but. It's been fun. I thank all you guys for doing this. Fozzie, for getting this started.
Thank you for having me on, my boy. Yeah.
Anytime
be on. You're right. It all started with a dream.
And it was Fozzie's dream.
And then I quit. Like I like retired 3 times.
Yes.
And then I got lazy, and then I definitely retired for good. And here we are.
How's he did though? He came to me and was like, "Yo, I have a friend, Tony. And I how about like we do a podcast?" I was like, "All right." I'm like, "Yo, like what about Jeff too?" And was like, "All right." And we tried the 4 of us, and it just worked. And now
work.
We're all here with us. He's been a much appreciated to Earl joining us. He's been a great addition over the last year or so.
Yeah.
He'd been on before, that as well.
Yeah, for sure. It's been kind of like he's been there for a minute.
Yeah.
And now he's here.
I knew Earl from a different podcast from a friend of mine from years and years ago. So, yeah, this has been fun. We're going to keep doing them.
Wait, this is the last one? Damn it.
No.
It's I had my money on 500. Oh.
That was it? Shit. Oh, sorry. We can cancel it and restart it like Jeff likes to do.
When is the drunken episode? I might stop by for that one. Was it after Thanksgiving? Was it Thanksgiving?
I was about to say, we're all working from home. Any episode could be a drunken episode.
This is a good point.
I am thinking, we used to do one for 4th of July. We have not done one.
That's very true.
We should do a drunk. I mean, as Earl said, we can do one any fucking night.
I thought it was tonight. I'm sorry.
I'm completely sober. I don't know about the rest of you.
Yeah, exactly. Jeff wasn't here early on, so he didn't give me the good word.
I had a glass of vodka. That was it.
Yum.
I've had two drinks since we've been
just here. A whole glass of vodka. That's it.
I've been through a couple of beers while I've been doing this.
I've had three beers.
There you go.
But yes, let's do a drunken episode. Fozzie, we'll get you on for that one.
Yes, get that bell ringing again, Jeffrey. You remember that bell.
And we'll be back next week. I don't know, man. I don't know if there's any new games. I don't know if there'll be any new news. We'll see what happens.
There's the Emperor expansion to Europa Universalis 4. Come on.
And you said there's news, Earl. There's stuff.
News we didn't cover this week because the PlayStation event was so big. But there's been little announcements here and there. The one thing we didn't talk about, Roy, is technically speaking, this is E3 week. If it still existed, E3 would have started this past Sunday. It's not the case, but IGN's doing the Summer of Games. There's a bunch of I think it's Jeff Garb has a thing on his Twitter where he kind of breaks down all the events to expect. I think we'll see stuff over. Again, I'm not saying there's going to be anything major, but there'll be little pieces of news here and there.
We'll have not E3 recap next week. Tony has some Unity of Command expansion or something.
No, Europa Universalis 4. Oh, right. Make sure you get it right.
Something of something strategy game. And we'll have stuff. So we'll be back next week. Jeff, say goodnight.
Fozzie, come back. You can plan it all on me. I was wrong. I don't know how the rest of it goes.
Yeah, I don't know either. That's impressive. Good night. I love you guys. Chicago.